The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Roberts, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone. It's 4 a.m. once again. That means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I am your host, as always, Tony, and let's see how this screws us up. I am joined by...
Hate. Oh, sorry, Brian.
Lust. I mean, Rob.
No?
Just say no? Is your name no?
He said Joe.
I was just confused.
Oh.
So... Guys, don't fall asleep.
Yeah, hide your kids, hide your wife.
Welcome to your nightmare. Yeah, because if Nancy doesn't wake up screaming, she won't wake up at all. We did.
Was that a tagline for real?
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Nightmare on Elm Street from 1984. It is directed by Wes Craven, written by him as well, who brought us Last House on the Left, The Hills Have Eyes, Swamp Thing, Deadly Friend, Serpent in the Rainbow, People Under the Stairs, Vampire in Brooklyn, and Scream.
Wait. Vampire Brooklyn was him?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was him. Dude, you know,
like him written all over.
He liked to diversify his bonds.
All right. So, what's your personal history with this movie, Joe?
I have seen this a few times. I don't know. I think I saw 1 through 4 growing up, and they used to scare the crap out of me when I was a kid. That's about it.
All right. Brian.
So I saw this movie way too young, and it freaked the fuck out of me. But then for some reason, I kept watching it. I watched, like Joe said, 1 through 4. Like, I watched them regularly. But I haven't seen them since, so I forgot what happens in most of them at this point. So watching it tonight was like new again for me. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen this a handful of times when I was like a little kid.
Because it has a dinosaur in it?
No, it actually had 2 dinosaurs in it, if you were paying attention.
I wasn't counting, I was just stating. But anyway, continue.
At least 2. I'll say at least 2. I don't want to be caught out.
I didn't notice any dinosaurs.
Okay, well, there was a Triceratops in the school, and there was a Stegosaurus in Johnny Depp's bedroom.
Okay, I believe you.
I've seen this a few times. I've also seen some of the sequels, but I couldn't tell you which ones. I remember the one where Nancy's all grown up. I think it's that New Nightmare.
Yeah,
I've seen that one. Definitely.
Yeah. And yeah, I've definitely seen this a few times. You know, something I like to trot out every once in a while, usually around Halloween or so, certainly. Occasionally switching up between this and the Halloween series, Friday the 13th series, and Leprechaun, not so much till this year. Thank you guys for that. I can tell you when another movie series that I tend to throw in here while we get into a brief history of this.
I don't care.
No one does, but I'm going to say it anyway because that's what we do on this podcast. I talk even though no one's listening to me.
Wow.
Evil Dead is a great series, and it's featured in this movie.
Sure is.
Because Sam Raimi was a fan of Wes Craven, so in Evil Dead, when he makes some I think it's a poster in the background for The Hills Have Eyes, which Wes Craven appreciated, so he put Evil Dead in this movie, which is why when we had Evil Dead 2, there was that Freddy glove in the shed.
Oh.
You remember me pointing that out?
Oh, okay.
Well, the funny thing is, Sam Raimi was a fan of Wes Craven. I don't think Wes Craven was a big enough fan of Sam Raimi.
I don't think anyone is.
His name is in the end credits, but misspelled.
Wow.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, it's spelled R-A-M-I. Sam Raimi.
Well, that isn't necessarily Wes Craven's fault. Someone else might have been in charge of that.
You direct that shit, you proofread your credits.
Yeah, he wrote
it. No arguments there, but anyway... this series was inspired by some articles that Wes Craven read from the LA Times about some Southeast Asian refugees that fled from the war to the U.S. that were suffering some disturbing dreams.
Oh.
3 of them, in fact. They refused to sleep, and when they finally did, they eventually died from something that at the time was called Asian Death Syndrome.
But now we just know it as
Doritos,
old age.
Doritos. Doritos.
Which only affected men between the ages of 19 and 57.
That's such a specific age. Yeah. Right? Yeah,
it's weird.
Most dudes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I guess a group of guys escaping the war, having horrible dreams, and eventually dying because of them. That's freaking weird. Mm-hmm.
Did any of them get pulled into a waterbed and explode in a geyser of blood?
I could not find any further information on that. Rich, if you find it, let us know. You don't have to look for that, Rich. I'd
appreciate
it
if you didn't, actually.
The other inspiration for this was the song Dreamweaver.
That would make you want to kill people too, like Dreamweaver. Yeah. Repeat all the time.
What? I don't know if that was the case exactly, but I think it was just the idea of someone... Sorry. No, that would do it for me, too.
And Wes Craven also had a bad experience at a Raffi concert once.
Yeah. I don't know what that meant, but whatever. He went shopping around to see if anyone wanted to get this. One of the first studios he went to was Walt Disney, or one of the first studios to show interest, I should say. But they wanted to tone it down to make it more suitable for teens and children.
Well, no kidding.
Fuck that.
What would be left of this movie? Seriously.
It'd be Beetlejuice.
No, not even.
The cartoon.
Maybe
Beetlejuice the cartoon.
maybe the cartoon. Maybe.
Why was Beetlejuice hanging out with that kid all the time?
You know what it would be? Well, I think it was just called The Boogeyman. They had a made-for-TV movie. No one's going to know this. That's fine. It was terrible, and Disney did it. Anyway, so New Line Cinemas, which was very new at the time, picked this movie up and decided to release it, which is why they are still commonly known, somewhat commonly known as the house that Freddy built.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not a moniker you want to have.
Well, whatever. This is Johnny Depp's first movie, as we already went over. Originally, David Weiner was going to play Freddy, but he had to drop out because of scheduling conflicts.
Who is that, David Weiner?
That would be the professor from Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, you would know him best as.
Wow. Oh, that guy.
It's been a lot of other things, but I know that's this group's probably best knowledge base.
You're not wrong.
No, wasn't he a knight in something we watched?
Not that I know of. Wes Craven wanted a non-Hollywood type to play Nancy.
Wait. Hold on a second.
He was in something else.
Are you thinking Quest of the Delta Knights?
I don't know. I've never seen that.
Quest of the Delta Knights?
No, but that guy was in something else we watched.
Go on.
And at one point watching it, we went, that's the guy from Ninja Turtles. Like, at one point watching it.
That's probably true. I don't remember.
I can't remember what it was he was in. Sorry.
I do believe he's come up on this podcast before.
Anyway.
He was in Quest of the Delta Knights.
That's.
I don't even know what that is. Never seen it. Like, okay. We broke Rob. Continue.
So they wanted a non-Hollywood type for Nancy, which is why it went to Heather Langenkamp. People that were turned down for the role were Demi Moore, Courtney Cox, Tracy Gold, and Jennifer Grey.
Why? I think Tracy Gold could have worked.
No, like, I'll get to Heather Langenkamp when we get to the cast list.
Okay. Also, fun side note, the guy who played Rod, who I guess there's debate over his name, he's listed as Nicky something. I don't even quite remember. He has another name. Yeah, I think I just skipped over him. But apparently he was homeless before filming this series. And while doing this series...
Twice as homeless afterward.
Possibly. He developed quite the drug habit, shall I say. And apparently during the jail scene where Nancy is talking to him about the, what actually killed her friend, he was high as shit.
You can kind of tell, too.
Yes, but she thought he was a phenomenal actor at the time. Like, you really got your eyes to water and everything. Like, because I'm jonesing.
Awesome crack. Yeah.
It's the 5 o'clock free crack giveaway.
How late did I miss it?
So, anyone want to guess at how much money this movie cost to make?
Now, usually for these kind of movies, like, budgets are pretty low because, you know, it's kind of easier to make these kind of movies, whatever. But this one had like more effects than that than I thought it would have. So I'm gonna guess $8 million.
I'm going with four.
I'm feeling the deuce, $2 million.
Ooh, and technically none of you get it, but I'll give it to Joe. It was $1,800,000.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, the slashers weren't as big yet. It was still, you know, the start. You want to guess at how much money this movie made?
A buttload?
30.
$31 million.
I'm going to lowball. I'm going to go with the times 10 multiplier, $20
million. Well done, Joe. It was $25
million. Booyaka shot.
Well, 25 Fine. And a half.
Whatever. I was close. Y'all ripped off of me. Also.
Yeah, Brian snaked you.
Have some of these pumpkin cookies.
Fuck that.
They're not pumpkin flavored.
Yeah, they're just orange colored.
Just put one in your damn mouth, oh, Joseph.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Complaint withdrawn. Give me the box.
Jesus Gosh. Christ. This is so sad.
They're just like what a they're shame. Just like the Smiles cookies.
Okay.
Of yesteryore.
Oh God. Oh. I didn't even think about that. So where's the stickers? anyway.
With I a taste that brings me back to the days of Hydrox.
Pretty much. Except for like there's real sugar in this supposed to like fake.
These are not good cookies.
I try and do something nice.
Do we want to give a shout out to the brand?
Nope.
No.
No. No.
Nope.
No, we do not. All right. So
Halloween the effort, cookies. Robert,
but
well, problem now is we need to discuss where this money went.
I want you to just lick the cream out. We have the
cast list. If Joe
All right.
can empty his mouth long enough.
So, you know, I'm insatiable.
I was about to say it too.
So John Saxon plays Lieutenant Thompson. Roddy Blakely plays Marge Thompson. Heather Langenkamp, I don't even want to use the word plays, fails at acting Nancy Thompson.
Wow.
Amanda Weiss?
Strong
is
words.
Tina Gray. Johnny Depp is Glenn Lance. And Robert Englund as Fred Krueger.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, Robert Englund. I'm sure we'll see you again.
Mm-hmm. Why are you hating Nancy?
Next year, maybe.
Almost certainly. Johnny Depp probably too, but yeah. So what's
I remembered that, you know, these movies don't have the strongest acting, but like, I was like, is she real? I don't know. It just struck me like I kept checking out of the movie because she couldn't deliver her lines like with any degree of skill.
All right.
That's okay.
Right. I mean, maybe I'm alone on that.
Yeah. Does anyone agree here on this?
I don't have an opinion strong enough to disagree.
Yeah,
you know, like I can't really like dispute what he's saying because that's how he feels. How he feels like.
Well, yeah, it's not about what you know. Telling him he's wrong.
Though, what I'll say, in comparison to like say last week when we did Friday the 13th, which I don't know why I have my notes turned to that. Like they didn't have to act as much, so maybe they just didn't have as many opportunities to fail. But I thought like the acting was way stronger with the characters in that one.
I mean, I agree. I don't think Heather Langenkamp was necessarily terrible so much as she was just on par with everybody else in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was strong acting anywhere in this film.
She was certainly new and obviously a bit inexperienced. Well, maybe not new, but a bit inexperienced.
Even Johnny Depp, I was like,
But I'm also fresh coming off watching a Neil Breen movie, so everyone seems amazing. Right?
What do you do that to just prep yourself?
I just thought her character sucked. Like, not sucked, but
that didn't help either.
Like, you're dumb. You're dumb. Like, say something. Like, stop. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep. It's like you're not Ripley. Just stop.
Well, no. Let's get into this. What do we got going on here?
Well, we start with the forging of the infamous blade hand. You know, Freddy's claw.
I guess was just made for children slaughter.
Yeah.
You know. Or possibly to shear that one sheep that we see for a moment for some reason.
It's like, me.
This freaked me out as a kid. Like just seeing this super glove. And I used to want to have like a glove with fingers on it, with the knives on it, something like that. But like the actual glove itself was fucking scary. Like it was I just couldn't handle it. Like
So you wanted the glove, but you couldn't actually get it because it would freak you the fuck out.
Like, for real. Yeah. So, like, you know, you take little plastic knives, shit like that, put them on your hand, you know, like oh, I'm scary. Like,
yeah. Would it freak you out if you were wearing it, you think?
I don't know. I never had an opportunity to wear it.
It's going to be like, I got the power now.
Well, yeah, I didn't know if that'd be like, I have the power, I'm okay with this, or if he'd be waiting for his own hand to attack him and rip his face off.
Well, I mean,
Evil Dead style.
In any media, has anyone ever finagled it so that Freddy has fought Wolverine?
No. Oh, you know what?
Legitimate media?
No, like even in like.
Oh, drama. I'm sure there's fan fiction somewhere.
Fought? Yeah. I don't know, but. Encountered, probably.
They might have started with a fight.
Yeah, and it probably ended with Wolverine waking up in a spray of diarrhea on his bed.
Hey, bub, I like your claws.
Did you call me Blob?
Oh, God. So, but no, those hooks are great because back then everybody wore Oshkosh Bagosh. And they all have those little things in the back so you can hang them up.
Mm-hmm.
Just get like 5 or 6 kids.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, that was when your kids were just, you know, being dicks and, you know, all unruly. You just grabbed them and hung them from the doorframe.
That's right.
It's right by their Oshkosh Bagosh hook.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he's chasing this girl. All over the place. Like
a lamb is chasing her first.
Yes.
That's like the first major like jump scare. It works. Like I was kind of like, what?
Well, it's a dream. Yeah. Shit's happening. But she's run through the halls of school. She's in the boiler room. She's just kind of wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And Freddy's coming up behind her. He slashes open her nightgown there. And she wakes up screaming.
Yeah, and her mom's like, you got to cut your fingernails.
She does say that. Like, her mom walks in, like, are you okay? Her mom's boyfriend walks in, like, yo, come back to bed. What are you doing? Yeah. Don't care about your daughter. We're not done. Yeah.
That had to be the ugliest sex that had taken place on the world that night.
I don't want
to
think about what happened.
Yeah, but he was so, like, that bothered him so much. He's like, we're just going to leave her here. We're going to leave your 15-year-old daughter here. Let's go to Vegas. Fuck her.
I like to call that, I won't be disturbed again while doing this.
I like to call that the BKBJ, where you go have a big meal at Burger King. Never mind. All right. I'm gonna eat a Dorito right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, you meet the 4 kids, including young Johnny Depp.
Yes.
At this point, you're kind of faked out. You think Tina might be the main character. You know, we focused on her the most. You got Nancy. You got Glenn, and then you have Rod. It's like, is this guy a date rapist?
Yes, he is.
Yes.
For starters.
Yeah. Like, you look at him, you're like, why did I hang out with this guy? Did I have a choice? Are they okay?
Well, that's what's
weird. She explains later why. But,
but yeah, the three of them, the first three, Tina, Nancy, and Glenn? Glenn. They're just chatting on their way to school. She's talking about having this horrible nightmare and whatever, and they're trying to cheer her up. And this dude's like hanging off her, making lewd comments, and when she doesn't go for it, he tells her to fuck off. Or what? It was shove it up your ass with a spinning lawnmower or something?
Yeah,
something
like that.
Just like, what is happening?
He's every girl's dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, admittedly, I've never tried that line on a girl before, but...
Mm-hmm. Haven't you ever dreamed of dating a Michael Jackson bad era cosplay enthusiast?
I only dream about dating The Rock.
Okay.
Okay, it's fair. It's fair.
So
starring Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery.
not the movie. Not the actual wrestler, just the movie.
He'll just the movie.
The DVD case.
Just imagine that one scene where Nicolas Cage slides across the floor to grab his balls.
No, I'm talking about the actual DVD case.
Oh, that's
actual,
yeah.
You can... or clamshell, if you will.
So, moving on. So they all go over, they sneak over Tina's house to, you know, support her because she had a really bad nightmare.
And her parents just left.
Yep, because they couldn't give one fuck.
Nope.
And yeah, and then someone's making noise in the backyard, so they make Glenn go out to investigate.
Like, and again, well, not again, because... Yeah, again, because it happened last week, too. Like, we hear noises and shit, like, fuck it. Like, that's how you get killed in these movies. Like,
right. Yeah.
It's called, well, like the girl did it last week.
Yeah.
You close the drapes. You shut the door. You pretend you're not there.
If they throw someone's corpse through the window, then you worry about
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
Although, the one thing both of those scenarios were missing, that this, all of them need, get a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good thing Glenn didn't, because fucking Rod just tackles him out of darkness.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, and like, the freaky part about it is he's holding a garden tool, like the three
mm-hmm.
aerator kind of tool thing, the three-prong fork, whatever the fuck's called.
Yeah.
But which looks kind of like knife claws.
Yep.
So they're more freaked out now. And Nancy's like, telling them about her dream and shit. And no, Tina's telling her about the dream, and it's like, I dreamt something similar.
Yeah.
Like,
Fraud's like, don't care, taking you to the bedroom.
Literally, that's what he says. Like,
you don't have a choice in the matter.
Yeah, we have important things to discuss, and just literally grabs her, puts a hand over her mouth, grabs her by the waist, and carries her out.
Rape is how we solve relationship problems.
What's his face is like, well, I mean, if they're going to go do something, yeah. I mean, we should do something. Nancy's like, fuck that. Nope. Yeah. You're sleeping by yourself. Fuck you.
Yeah, she's like, I know how these things work. You're the one that went outside. I didn't open the door. I'm not banging you. I know how to stay alive in a horror movie.
She does. At least this one.
That's fair.
And so, yeah, so the two of them try to sleep while Rod and Tina loudly fuck.
Yep. Like, I felt like the director had said, okay, pretend you're having sex in this room. And then, like, they heard them, they're like, all right, pretend you actually had sex in this room. it was like the worst sounds ever.
Well, I mean, it's not far off from some people.
Okay. I felt like it was like in It's Always Sunny when Mac hires the hooker to pretend like they're fucking. Like, it sounded like that. Like,
but also keep in mind, they're high school kids too. So they're like.
Well, I did half expect it like to cut into the bedroom and they're just like bouncing on the bed and like throwing things at the door or whatever. Oh.
It could be.
Anyway.
Maybe what they were up to.
But that's when she explains why she dates him after that. I was like, oh yeah, this is why I like
him. Which is weird because earlier she insults his dick.
She did, yeah.
She knows it gets him riled up. I guess that's a thing for them.
It's emotionally ocean, man.
Yeah. So like
she insults him, he rapes her, and everybody goes home happy.
Wow,
I guess.
So like
that's what's happening here. So too. Like, it's not me.
So like now they're post coitus. He's rolled over asleep immediately, and then like
rolls away. Yeah.
Well, I mean like
yeah.
I mean like I'm a furnace, so I won't, like don't touch me because I'm gonna be hot as fuck. Like leave me alone. Like, so she passes out eventually, and then we get another dream sequence.
Yep.
Someone's throwing stones at the window.
Yeah, she hears somebody calling to her, so she goes to check it out, and she's like, who the fuck are you? It's not enough that he answers in some creepy-ass voice, so she decides to go outside now. Just wearing a shirt and panties, I guess. Because if you're going to go investigate noises, scary noises in your backyard in the middle of the night, you don't want to put on shoes or anything.
What
you
I'll know, say about shoes. This movie, though, where they can get away with a lot of the characters doing stupid shit like that is when you're in a dream.
Yes.
Yeah, you just do dumb stuff.
This is true.
Okay. All right.
But so she goes outside and she sees a creepy man coming around the corner.
Stretch Armstrong over.
Yeah, let's
touching both ends of the
let's
alley.
Let's talk about this for a second.
Wait, to back it up for a moment. Yeah, we start out with a good effect because we see Freddy pays a little visit to Nancy, who's in Tina's room originally, coming through the wall or the ceiling, I guess. Technically,
that's the first wall bendy effect. That's to this day that still freaks me out.
That looks amazing. It's really good. Well done. Mm-hmm.
The lighting on it is what I think really sells it. But it's creepy. You just kind of see his face forming in the ceiling there, coming out. And
while we saw this, we were reminiscing about The Haunting.
Oh, and how terrible those
so bad.
$1 million effects were.
Yeah. Whereas this, they just had like, you know, a latex sheet or whatever they used.
Someone just shoved Robert England
into a latex sheet.
But it fucking worked.
It worked. It was great.
But now we get him with stretchy arms, which...
Oh my God. This is so terrible.
I don't have a problem with stretchy arms. It's just, that's not the first shot of him.
No.
Like, first time you introduce...
I don't have a problem with stretchy arms either. They were just, like, baggy in weird spots. They looked not real at all. Like, just totally unnatural.
Well, this is also one where I kind of give it... And we're going to get to another offense of this in just a moment. But it's the... Freddy does seem to have a sense of humor and everything. And it's a dream. So, like, I don't know how much of this is, like... I don't know. Like... cool with him, like maybe he's just being weird for the sake of being weird. I mean, the fact being bad is just because they didn't have the budget, but
I mean, being weird is having stretchy arms. It's not having like
the bad effects is just that's budgetary things.
It looked like in a like B movie when the giant monster pulls you off screen, so they had this big foam kind of claw come out from off screen and pull you back in. It looked like that. It was obviously fake.
Like when they superimpose a cat, it's supposed to be gigantic. Yeah, like big fake paw.
I was thinking more like with Triumph Insult Comic Dog, where he needs to reach for something.
It does look like Triumph's dog arm. But,
and then
this is again where CGI might have helped out.
To accentuate the hilarity of this moment. When it shows his arm being normal, he has this weird run. He's like, I'm going to get you.
He looked like he was like a little person.
Or had a load in his pants.
I was just going to say, or dumped himself.
He had a little person in his diaper.
Well, this is more what I was talking about, where I don't know if that's because like Freddy's like, I'm going to be funny and just run weird. So I'm kind of behind you because I could totally catch you if I wanted to, but... Well, he's being crazy.
He shows that off because he indeed has a bad guy teleport.
Yeah, he just pops up behind or in front of her, rather.
I think that might actually be a different person doing the fun run. And then
that probably was because it felt like the same camera. Like the camera just turned to her.
Yeah, and it was rather dark and everything.
Yeah.
He's having a good time. Now, I think if maybe this is really his first time out where he's going to kill someone and he's like, yeah, let's see what my powers can do. Because he's like, see these fingers? I don't need them.
Cut him off. That's entirely possible. Yeah, he does just cut off part of his hand.
It's like, that's how I get down.
He cuts himself a few times in his
mouth. Yeah, he's like, hey, I'm full of key lime pie.
Yeah. Want to see what our special effects can do? Look, isn't that cool? Speaking of, he knocks her down. They're getting into a tussle. She starts grabbing at his face and just kind of pulls it off.
He's still cool with that.
Yeah, this freaked me out as a kid too.
It's like hot cheese off of a pizza. Like it just comes right off in her hands, and there's just a skull back there going. Rah.
I remember this freaking me out.
I'm glad they didn't linger on the effect for very long, but yeah, I was like,
it was a little poor.
Yeah. Oh, it was terrible.
Well, it's mediocre.
However, it jumps into an effect that still to this day is creepy as hell. Like afterwards, when you see like they're fighting under the bed and Rod pulls the sheet off. And like her Tina's death is still
it is
that's legitimately terrifying.
Like gave me a visceral reaction. Yeah. Like the just how quickly like and you can tell it's wire work, but how quickly she's like jerked into the air and like flipped around and just spinning.
It's far less wire work. It's more it's actually the same room they use for Glenn, and it was designed to be able to be flipped upside down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So most of it is actually just her falling down, then going up.
Oh, okay.
Either way, the way she's moving is totally unnatural.
Yeah.
And it's not even like he's pinning her to the ceiling and then stabbing her. It's just like something terrible is just happening to her.
Yeah. He's just like throwing her around the room and just the trail of blood she's leaving everywhere. It just like.
And now Rod is standing there in his tighty whiteies, just screaming her name at her and reaching out, like not doing anything helpful. But then I'm thinking, I'm like, what the hell can you do?
Yeah, what would you even do?
What is the correct reaction to that?
I just figured Rod assumed like this was her first period and he didn't understand how it works.
Oh. At least he didn't just throw tampons at her like in Carrie.
Does this happen every month?
I'm not going to the store.
imagine if he
I'll
was...
I'll drive you, but I'm not going in.
The window. He's like, fuck it, I'm going to the store.
I'm going to the store.
Imagine if he was actually high while they filmed this scene too.
Holy shit.
Well, I also do like his response is just totally like, that's it. I'll fight you. I'll fight you, Invisible Man. Like, what? What are you chasing? I don't even understand what's happening right now.
What is your plan to defend yourself against what's happening to her?
Not only that, but like, if I'm not mistaken, the window is smashed. So are we to believe he jumped through it?
I'm not sure.
That wasn't Freddy, right? You
know, honestly, at this point, that's a valid reaction. Yes.
Fair. Yeah,
but like, I don't know, the sounds that you heard, like, when Nancy was listening to the door, I couldn't tell if he jumped or if, like, he was thrown out and then just ran.
That's fair, because he later on, he describes seeing something during that scene. Yeah. We never see what he saw. And he never said he had a dream about the guy before, so, like, he saw something in that. Yeah. Like,
but he's like, I'll fight you. I'm going to fight you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's out the window.
Yeah, I totally think he just jumped. So, and Nancy comes in. I gotta say, she handles it like a champ. Because I think Glenn is about ready to puke, but she's just standing there in awe, like, oh, so that's my friend just torn to parts.
She's like, line.
That could be as
good. Joel's probably saying, act.
Well, no, it's the next scene where they're at the police station, and she's just like, But not even like my friend's dead. It's just like, oh, I don't like you parents.
You don't think I'm upset about my friend dying?
It's like, I can't tell what you just genuinely look like you don't want to be part of this picture. Like, I don't know. I'm sitting there. I'm like, is this our protagonist? I'm like, God.
Yes, it is.
You can tell because she didn't have sex before.
Or ever.
That's true.
All right. So what should we call it? It's the next day. She's just like, all right, I'll go to school.
Yeah. Like, I would not be at school. I think her dad. That's later on. Yeah, I wouldn't be at school. Fuck that.
No, please. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's kind of a toss-up because you might actually want to, like, be around other people.
Maybe.
And not, you know, just stuck home alone with your alcoholic mother.
Yeah.
Well, her mother got worse as it went on.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was more blatant. But,
it was comical levels by the end.
Yeah. I really wouldn't want to be either because, like, I don't want to be somewhere where Rod would potentially know where I am. Because, like, at this point, I would still think Rod did that to her.
Well, because don't forget, Tina had confided in her about her dream about the guy chasing her. And she had the same dream, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tina was worried about the guy was going to kill her in real life.
Yeah.
Like, so Nancy already has this kind of, she's already skeptical about Rod doing it. Because she's like, we had the same dream. And, like, she dreamt about herself dying.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, then she also died. Says in the police station, she's like, yeah, they fought, but it was never, like, that bad or anything. And, like,
she did not mention the making up they did either.
Right.
So.
But this is, for me, this is where it starts. Like, fucking use your words. Say some shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whatever the fuck you saw, whatever she was talking about, tell someone, say something. So, like, there's a little bit more of a trail as when things really start going. Yeah. Like,
well, generally, from everyone, like, phrasing in particular is a big problem I have with all this. Because, like, you know,
are we not doing phrasing?
Razor, huh?
Are we not doing phrasing?
We're doing phrasing.
Sorry.
All right,
cool.
No, but they're like, you know, she was cut with a razor. No one ever says, like, it looks like claw marks. Because that's a consistent thing. Like, okay, even if Rod came at her with a blade or whatever, he's not going to get four consistent cuts in the same, you know, same pattern like that. Like, it's obviously some kind of claw-like thing. And no one mentions that ever.
They were incriminating claw marks on her back. I think she got run over by a reindeer. My grandma did. So anyway.
You know, she is also kind of walking funny. Maybe she's been sleeping with a T-Rex.
That could be.
Here's.
I wish I was.
Is it Tammy, not Tina?
Yeah. Here's Rod's, you know, attempt to, you know, plead his case before Alice. Dive tackle.
Yep. I mean, in all fairness, like, they've shown so far, that's all he knows.
Yeah, that's how he begins all of his conversations.
Every single one so far, that's how it starts.
I believe we are treated earlier by calming him down with the phrase, you healed Jane, or Monkey Man healed Jane, or something like that, or Jungle Man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's not a bright fellow. This is what we're getting at here.
But yeah, he doesn't really get to talk to her for very long before the police come in and grab him.
I mean, he legit tackles her, covers her mouth, pulls her into bushes.
Yeah. And her dad just used her as bait, too.
And his hands are still covered in Tina's blood.
Yeah.
For real.
That is true. he's hauled off to jail.
Yeah, because her dad pops out with a gun saying, don't move. And she's like, you fucking use me, you fucking bastard. Like,
and he said, what the hell are you going to school for?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to get my learn on. Shit.
And she still goes to school.
Yeah, she does.
Like, yeah, seriously, what has to happen to, like, flap you, Nancy? Like,
well, maybe what happens to her in school?
Yeah.
In her study hall. Well, no, in her class.
Math class, I believe it was. Yeah.
It was English.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was English. Because, they were talking about Shakespeare.
Yeah.
So then we just go into Nightmare Land. Tina's just hanging out in a body bag.
Yeah.
Like, Nancy.
Not even because they're not clear, are they?
No, yeah, you're right. Just, I don't even know.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. We see her...
Not traditionally.
We see her on the morning news where she seems to be taken out in this clear plastic body bag and like the hand just hanging out.
Who aired that?
Yeah, seriously. Her freaking dead arm just hanging out.
Was that a segment on Good Morning America? What the hell?
The same news network from RoboCop that was showing the dead president on the ground.
Regis and Kathy Lee just like, look at this dead girl.
Yeah.
Oh, Regis, you're incorrigible.
I don't know. I think I'd still hit that.
So she's like
less decayed than my wife.
So
Cody just drew me the sweetest picture of her arm coming out of that body bag.
Wow.
Turn around.
You remember
Tina's in the hall in a bloody body bag. That's a wrap on my dream right
for
there.
For real.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah.
Yeah. No, my dream would not get further than that because I'd be screaming like crazy and would wake up.
But not only did she not respond to seeing her friend in his body bag in the hallway, which turns back. It's gone. There's a pool of blood there. She gets up and goes in the hallway.
She finally gets up and goes,
what
the hallway.
Fuck are you doing?
It looked like Hershey's chocolate sauce.
Yeah, it was.
she just left a poopy mess in the hallway.
You know what? Like,
when you die, sometimes your body. Okay, what?
You know, like white people have the stereotype of in the horror movie, they're always like, I have to go investigate. It's because of shit like this.
Yeah.
Like, when legit. You go out into the hallway and see her body just being dragged by an invisible thing down the hall, your first reaction isn't, let's follow that.
No!
When I get to where it's taking her, what is your plan to help dead Tina?
Yeah. That's very fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, again, like, at the very least, I go back to get a weapon. Like, find that, you know, that fire axe that says in case of emergency break glass and grab that shit.
At the very least, I'm like, do y'all motherfuckers see this? Am I the only one to see this shit?
Well, that too.
Anybody? Yeah.
That's a recurring problem here as well. But she goes running down the hallway and she bumps into this Saturday Night Live character.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell's going on here.
That's like Molly Shannon-esque.
Yeah. it's the hall monitor, but she's wearing the red and green sweater because, like, let's be super obvious about what's happening here. It just kind of gives her a hard time for a second, but she just runs past her and then she just turns back and she's got the glove and she's like, hey.
No running in the hallway.
Yeah, no running in the hallway.
So, like, now, if she wasn't sure she was dreaming, she should know by now she's dreaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
Well, like, when you know you're in a dream, your dream is yours now.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's like Green Lantern rules at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
just do whatever.
That's it. That's episode three. That's, well, the third one. That's where
Dream
that,
Warriors. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what happens?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, in Dream Warriors, they get powers, but they're not. Like,
they still suck.
Yeah, Freddy's still God there, but now they have more powers.
Was it written by Stephen King?
No. But it could have been. No, but that's the point. Is at this point, you're no longer being followed by Nancy. You're being followed by RoboCop.
Yeah,
and he's like, I'm going to investigate this blood trail.
Yeah.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Exactly.
So, of course, we're going to go into the boiler room. That's exactly where you want to go when you're having a nightmare.
The Home Alone basement.
Yeah. Now, I mean, granted, when you're having a nightmare and you know he wants you to go in the boiler room, I guess whatever door you go into, you're going in the boiler room.
Mm-hmm. But eventually, is what happens.
Yeah. So he's just like, you want to see something cool? Just lifts up his shirt and cuts his gut open. It's
like some mac and cheese falls out.
Yeah. No, it was a rescaroni. Rescaroni and some green jello.
Ecto cooler,
yeah, it was a little.
I did like, you know, the added touch. And this is where I kind of, like you said, the any door you open leads to there. Mm-hmm. And I wish we did more of that because I did like the touch of she goes through a curtain to get in there. And then when she opens the curtain to try and get back out, it's a wall.
Yep.
Like, that's a nice touch.
Yeah.
Let's do more of that.
So
force her into this.
Ultimately, yeah, she figures out she can wake herself up by burning her arm on one of the steam pipes.
Yeah.
And she wakes up. Well, she freaks out waking up.
Sure does. The whole class is looking at her.
And, you know, pretty quickly notices her arm's burned. At that point, I would have a Nicolas Cage-esque freak out and just be shaking my arm going, how'd it get burned? How'd it get burned?
Especially correct. On the opposite side of my arm that I actually touched this pipe.
Yeah.
Freaking the fuck out. Like, was this here when I got here? No.
Yeah. Why did my dream affect reality? Something is terribly, terribly wrong.
So,
but I guess she suspected as much already anyway.
This is one, I mean, maybe this is a product of the 80s, but she just goes to see Rod in jail. They just let her in.
I mean, yeah. her dad's like the sheriff in town, whatever, so
I guess
she can do whatever the fuck she wants. Like,
there's, all right. Yeah, there's also a lot of questionable 80s moments. Yeah. Like I was even pointing out, like, she's the teacher's walking around at one point and just, like, puts her hand on Nancy's shoulder, like, that's not allowed anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm pretty sure, like, you know, the DA could probably, like, you know, would have a little bit of a problem with just witnesses talking to each other like that.
Yeah. Yeah. This is very true.
So,
the DA is probably like her godfather.
Rod finally is like, I have to say complete sentences, and tells her about he's been dreaming of Freddy. And yeah, this is the scene you're talking about where he's drugged.
Yes, he is drugged the fuck out.
You get the sweats and everything.
You could tell, yeah.
Now, in truth, I believe he's not so much having the dreams himself, but he says when he saw her getting attacked, he could see like these four consecutive claw marks being ripped across her chest.
I thought he said both.
Because what point he said he saw claw marks, but then he also said,
"Oh yeah, yeah."
He saw
the guy. Okay.
Yeah, he saw the guy when he pulled the sheet off real quick. But I'm like, he could have said that at any point beforehand, like to Nancy when you had tackled her in a bush, like anything could have. Like, well,
that seems to be another consistent problem we'll have here, because how many times have we started screaming? And like, I was screaming it to myself long before we started saying it as a group. But like, how many times does he need to say, my name is Freddy, before you start saying Freddy?
Yeah, it's the entire movie.
By Fred Krueger.
The third time we see him, which is pretty early in the movie, he says his name. He says, Freddy's going to get you or something like that. And like, she never mentions it the rest of the movie.
Right here in the school thing, he says, come to Freddy. Yeah. Yeah. Come
she to Freddy. The third time we see him. Eventually mention it to like
her mother.
Mom. Eventually.
Yeah. The last 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. We'll get to how that happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll get to her.
Shitty ass mom.
My mom sucks. All
right. And so, not like Tina's mom. Sucks. Never mind.
So, you know what's a good thing to do after this day you've had? Let's go take a bath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
In all fairness, though, that kind of is true, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had a shitty day. Yeah. A good bath helps with a shitty day.
You saw your dead friend in your school and then had a horrible nightmare and burned yourself. And then your, other kind of weird rapey friend is in jail that you just visited. And now you're feeling sleazy. You need to just take a bath and relax.
And it's harder for girls to crank one out in the shower.
Yeah. Mm. Not when you have bathroom snatch claw coming out of the water.
It's still the bath, not the shower.
While watching, I figured it was some weird, like jutsu for a ninja to do. Mm-hmm. You know, vagina hand. Like, it was not like,
That's so impractical.
Like, hey, but that time when you need a vagina hand, you got it.
I guess.
I tell you what, when someone grabs you, tries to restrain you, they never account for vagina hand.
For real.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially since we're talking.
He's just overly specialized to me.
Well, since we're talking animes.
Our president grabs vaginas, not with a vagina hand.
He probably wears a Freddy Krueger
hand.
Especially with snatch claw on the vagina hand.
Fuck that.
Keeps getting those fake-ass tans. He's going to have burn marks like Freddy Krueger, too.
That's the last time you try to just grab a
but
girl.
This is what I was, especially when you're talking animes, there's far too likely, any woman in that might get raped or potentially raped. So you want to learn a move where a clawed hand comes out.
Animes that you watch, maybe.
Well, I think in later movies, Freddy does more anime style, like, tentacle shit. he gets a little bit more, kinds of shit, little bit more out there with his gags and stuff as these movies go on.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
Freddy gets all grabby in the bathtub. Pulls her underwater.
Yeah,
this is a freaky scene. Like,
hell yeah, it is.
Like, do you have any info on like how they filmed the scene? Like, was she in the tub? Was on top of something that had actual hole in it? Okay, yeah, because it was like she got ripped underwater for real. Like, that was not fake.
Well, was it her?
No, that was a body double, but it was a setup thing where it was like a bathtub above basically a big pool.
Okay,
and they just had somebody down there going. Burr.
They lit it perfectly to make it look like once you're under there, like it's just endless.
Nice and creepy. But yeah, this is again where we have the problem. Like, she's screaming for her mom until like her mom finally breaks into the bathroom and she's woken up by that point. So she's just like, oh, I just fell in the tub, and not like, oh, I've had that terrible dream again. Like, that guy with the clawed hand is coming after me.
Like, say something. Like, just...
I think he said his name was Fred. Mm-hmm. Ringing any bells, Mom?
Yeah.
Fred Claus.
But she was just like, oh, no, I slept. I'm fine, Mom, fine. It's like, no, you're not fine.
Yeah, you...
Stop saying you're fine when you're not fine. Cut that shit out. Like,
you know what? Fred Claus might have been the prequel.
Wow.
Just throwing that out there.
You know what? I would at least be like, maybe we should go see a grief counselor.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Jesus.
I mean, I know it's 1984 and they were just like, suck it up.
Like, legit.
Get a new friend.
Like, yeah, Mom's like, why don't you just go to bed or maybe have a couple drinks first? That works for me.
Have a smoke and have a drink. You'll be all right.
There's a Care Bear.
Yeah. So she tries to get some rest. I guess. Well, no, she's trying to stay awake here.
Yeah, watching some horror movies. This, right. And this is when Glenn comes over.
Yes. So she's like, listen, Glenn, I've got this stupid idea where I'm going to go try and find this guy. I need you to just stay awake next to me and be my guard. And if I start freaking out, wake me up.
Oh, she also at this point laments, oh, God, I look 20 years old. And she looks in the mirror.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think she was 20 years old when she filmed this, too. Yeah.
I mean, there are scenes
they're playing 15-year-olds.
But there are scenes where she looks 15, like
when
they put her in the big crummy clothings.
There's scenes where she acts like she's 12.
Yeah,
almost but every scene. But
even after the bath scene, when she's like out of the bath and you know just has the towel on, she looks 15 in that scene. Like she looks super young.
I don't want to comment.
Like
I had a bunch of questions and I was like, nope, nope, nope.
No, right. Let me explain.
Nope, Doritos right here. Doritos. Doritos.
Let's move on.
You guys are misconstruing.
That doesn't matter, Doritos.
What I'm saying.
So sorry, she goes to sleep, and now she's wandering around, and she's like, Glenn, are you still watching? And he just comes out of the bush like, yeah, I'm still watching. I guess because that's part of her dream. I don't know what the fuck's happening here.
I'm guessing that at that point she was like kind of asleep, kind of awake still. And so she probably said in her, like, weird, like, out loud, Glenn. And he was like, no, I'm here. Don't worry, I'm worried. Don't worry, don't worry.
That could be.
That's how I chose to process it in my head.
But, yeah, it seems in her dream, she's imagining Glenn is still her bodyguard, but he's there with her. She ends up going to the jail. She starts peeking through the window.
Which is, the scene is kind of cool because, like, she's walking through her own neighborhood, and then she opens a door, and other side of the door is a different neighborhood where the jail is. Mm-hmm. Like... So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it just kind of led her there. Climbs the side of the jail and looks through the window. And she sees Freddy just shows up to visit this guy, Rod.
Just walks through the bars, T-1000 style.
Yep, like it's nothing. He starts getting a little close to Rod.
Now she's screaming at this point. She's like, Rod, wake up! And she's like, Glenn, wake up! Like, Glenn, wake me up! Like,
yeah, Glenn, help! Glenn, where are you?
And Freddy sees her ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's when Tina shows up.
Is there a little wink? Mm-hmm.
So Tina's standing in a pile of gross, snaky things and like...
Well, see, when you die, you evacuate your bowels.
Yep.
And they turn into eels.
In her case, she evacuated the entirety of her bowels, like the whole digestive tract.
Yeah, I think Tina became those snaky things.
I don't know.
She's throwing up centipedes and shit first.
So then Tina's like, all right, it's enough of that. Let's go home and run up my quicksand stairs.
Yeah.
If you look close enough on these stairs, you can see where the holes are pre-cut for her to step in. Like, you look real close, but you can see it. So it's kind of funny.
And Freddy's just like, here's your friend's face. I'm wearing it as a mask now.
Yeah, he's busting the door with this shitty little Tina layer of skin on him. That's my mask.
You do not want to know what he did with the rest of her.
No.
He does like this dive tackle through the mirror thing. He's having a good time. He's having a great time rolling around with her.
Yeah, she gets back to her room. She thinks she's safe. She's telling herself it's just a dream. This is when he busts through the mirror. They're just fucking up her room. And she realizes, because she can see, I guess somehow she knows it's real outside the dream as well, that Glenn is in fact asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, but I think we're missing the point that she was totally holding her own against Freddy.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Like, so either...
He's still just a
dude. I don't think Freddy was ready for the kill at this point. Like, I think he was just having fun.
Well, that is true.
Yes, but at the same time, like...
play with his food.
She, I don't know. She was getting some hits in. Mm-hmm. Like, either her dad is secret Liam Neeson or Freddie kind of sucks.
No, well, if her dad was Liam Neeson, then this movie would have been way different.
Oh, yeah. She would have broken his arm off and stabbed him in the face with his own hand.
From what I remember they're discussing later in the movie, I think he does have some issues where he does need to build up his power. And mm-hmm. I think he does feed off of fear to do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he is actually at this point killing Rod in real life. So he might actually just not have enough juice to take her out.
He's
right
basically
now.
Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
You gotta believe.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah.
Freddy Krueger. This is how he thinks his happy thoughts.
I think that's the real thing, though, is at the end of the day, like...
Rod was the one with the pixie dust, though. Yeah.
He exists in this alternate reality or whatever, mm-hmm. and his power all comes from that, but, like, he's still, like, at his core, he's still just some, you know, cheap little pedophile from the school that they
don't
killed.
I know it.
Anyway. So, yeah, he's having this little tussle with mm-hmm. Nancy. Nancy finally is woken up by her alarm clock that goes off, because I guess she was smart enough to mm-hmm. set that. She's bitching at Glenn for not staying awake. She doesn't, he's just like,
but why yell at him? You set your alarm because you know he's unreliable.
Pretty much. And I believe this is where she gets cut. Freddie actually cuts her mm-hmm. arm.
Yeah.
Isn't that in the sleep?
Oh, wait, no, yeah,
sleep plan. Oh, no, you're right.
So we cut back to Rod, who is in the jail cell. His bed sheets start coming to life, and they wrap around his neck and drag him up to the top bars, ceiling thing, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call that.
He and Freddy have a cage match.
Yeah, I don't know why this isn't just a ceiling, but wraps around it, and he gets hung. And she's running off to try and get to the jail cell in time. She's like, I got to talk to him. Which, this is where it gets really ridiculous, where the dude's just like, it's not that there's any legal problem with you talking to him. I just don't want to fucking do it. Like, I'm on the night shift because I wanted to have a quiet night or whatever.
Like, where did I leave the keys? Motherfucker, there's a person in there.
Meanwhile, Freddy's like, I always like teen boys that are well hung.
Now, so these sheets wrap around his neck, pull him up, whatever. Now, the jail cell is like a cage. It's mm-hmm. like in a room, so there are bars that go over his head. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if he just grabbed the bars on top of him, he could hold himself up mm-hmm. to like not be dangling. Now, Freddy would kill him anyway, right? But like the sheriff or whatever, they would have seen that like, it wasn't because he hung himself. Like, it was something else what killed his ass. Like,
well, so like at one point he's grabbing onto the bed and then just quickly lets go of it so he can grab onto the thing around his neck to try and struggle with that for whatever reasons. Like, just hold onto that bed. Like, don't let him lift you off the ground. Again, well, I mean, I'm sure it would have gotten to be a problem anyway.
If it has you by your neck, like the hold.
Oh, he's gonna cut off your hair and stuff.
Gonna,
I get.
It. Still gonna pull you.
Well, eventually he's just gonna break your neck.
Yeah.
So.
Or that.
We just go to Rod's funeral. Which at that point, I was like, why didn't we go to Tina's funeral?
Right? I was like, why are they all there? They all thought he was a murderer.
Yeah.
Like, why does Nancy seem more upset at seeing Rod hanging than she was at Tina being just ripped into pieces?
Listen, Tina didn't get a funeral, okay? Tina's mom had Johns to turn out, all right? She can't be taking time off.
Tina's corpse is still sitting in the bedroom.
No, that's what it is. They can't find her corpse. It's in her dreams now. They can't find it, so they haven't had a funeral yet.
No, I think they got it right. It's still in the house, just the mom hasn't come home to do anything with it yet. Yeah. Dreamweaver. I'll be home in another 3 weeks. We'll have a funeral then.
All right, so she tells her dad about Freddy, and her mom's like... has the solution.
Well, no, okay. First of all, though, she doesn't tell her dad about Freddy. Right. She tells her dad about a weird guy.
Well, that's what I mean, things. Yeah.
Fucking say his name, damn it.
Yeah. So, yeah, her mom's like, which we later find out knows what's going on here. And it's just like, all right, we'll go to the sleep disorder clinic. Yeah.
Like, this switches her mom's crazy switch.
Yeah.
Because, like, from this point on, her mom is just, she's gone.
Well, because at the funeral, like, again, she's not using the name for some reason, but she is described, she's like, a weird guy in a hat, and he wears a red and green sweater, and he's got these knife hand thing, and they both are like, we know exactly who this dude is. There's no question of this shit. There's no way he could be doing this, but somehow she knows.
And there's no way she knows who this person is.
Yes. She shouldn't anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now the mom's like, all right, I'm getting her help. We're taking her to this dream clinic. We're going to do a little study on her.
All right, before we get into what was going on in this scene, did anyone notice that sweet kitten on the trolley?
Yes. I was like,
I want that poster. That
motivational poster?
Yeah. Just two kittens riding a trolley. It was adorable.
Was it two kittens? I only saw the one.
One of them's inside, like one of them's operating the car.
Oh, I was distracted because the other kitten was wearing a Hawaiian shirt, like
hanging out of it.
Like, a little kitten vacation. It was adorable.
Yeah, it was great.
All right. Meanwhile,
They drug her up. They put her under so she'll get some sleep.
Meanwhile, negligence reigns.
Yeah. He's doing, you know, the research. He's like, all right, she's so far seems normal. Nothing wrong with her brain. Functions, they're all functioning, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Seems normal enough until she just starts, like, flipping the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, these are higher than they ought to be. I don't understand.
Trolley kitten, save me.
So the mom, who is smoking this whole time in this medical facility.
It's 1984. You can do that.
Exactly.
The doctor would be smoking while he gave you a physical.
I was surprised he wasn't. Anyway, she goes running in there and she's trying to wake Nancy up. This is where we see Nancy. Not only does she have claw marks on her arms, but she apparently grabbed his hat.
Yep.
Yep.
Pulled that out.
The funny part is where she pulled the hat out of. Because, like, she's almost tied down to this fucking bed. Yeah. Like, all these probes are all over her, whatever, whatever. And so, like, they pull the sheets back a little bit. And then she pulls out from, like, under her dress or something like that, the hat.
Well, it's under her sheets, but...
But, like, it was clear that she did not have that with her when she came in. There's no way that you would not have been able to tell she had a fucking hat, you know, a foot and a half in diameter. Mm. Whatever,
like, she was in a paper gown.
The hat either came from some magical paranormal means or what?
Or
I don't think it works the same.
What?
I don't think this is a universal.
This is where you were going with it.
Yeah. Did anybody else want some spicy sweet chili Doritos?
No, I'm good.
I still like these.
Save them for you.
I'm not gonna say enough terrible things that I need this whole ad.
You might.
I mean, eventually you will. But like,
I mean, yeah, I got pedophile jokes lined up, but
that's why the bag's next to you. Yep. But yeah, so like her mom sees the hat, and is like her crazy switch goes up another notch. Mm-hmm. She's like dial up up to three now, three out of five.
But what I like, the scientist, we don't see this guy again.
Nope.
It's just like, you're just like, oh, that was a weird day at work today.
Yeah. Well, this is again where I'd be like, Mom, how do you explain the hat?
I'm fucking cut.
Where did that come from?
I got four claw marks on my fucking arm, mm-hmm. like someone with a knife hand grabbed me. And I have a fucking hat of the guy with the knife hands who grabbed me.
Most importantly, you watched me the whole goddamn time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who, by the way, let's not forget, the hat has his name written on it like he's a kid in like preschool with his name written in his underwear. Mm-hmm. Like his full name is written out in this.
Granted, he was in preschool at the time. He was not a kid, though.
I'm just...
You know, I'd watch that if they did like a Muppet Babies version of like Nightmare on Elm Street. And, like,
would you watch it?
It'd be Freddy,
would
Jason,
you watch it, Brian?
Mike.
They don't be kidding except Freddy. He'd be an adult. He'd be Nanny.
No, they're all kids. Like, they're all kids. You know,
it's time for your bath, Jason.
All right, yeah. Let's not forget, in Freddy versus Jason, there were implications that Freddy may have diddled Jason.
I don't remember. I saw that movie, in bits and pieces, because I didn't want to watch it. Like,
You're better off.
Yeah, at that point, like, my Freddy Jason, you know, hysteria was gone. You know what I mean? Like,
Freddie was gonna diddle Mike Myers, but then he realized it was Mike Myers, the serial killer, and not Mike Myers as Simon, the boy that likes to draw in the bath.
So I'm gonna go back to this movie.
Yeah.
So anyway,
so I wrote at this point. Her
Somebody
mom is
laughed.
An idiot.
Yeah, her mom is an idiot,
and not at all subtle.
No.
You laugh, Carolina.
Yeah. So she's like, "We should have the hat analyzed." She's like, "I threw it out."
Oh yeah. At this point, Nancy's calling her mom out for her bullshit.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I threw it out. Really? Because I just saw you not at all subtly shove it into that drawer.
And mom just went, slap.
Yeah. The slap had me. It was funny as fuck because, like, she slapped in one direction, but her body turned the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. Like, they misedited it. It was funny.
So bad.
She's doing the whole turn the other cheek.
But at this point, you see her mom like has a bottle of vodka, yeah, and it doesn't leave her side. Like she has a magic power now, like where it disappears in her hand.
Oh yeah.
Like, well, no, she has them hidden all. Yeah, over
she has strategically hidden a bottle of vodka every 5 feet. Now.
She has gone from Margarita Rob to work function Rob. Okay. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So, it means she's drunk all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and she knows about Freddy Krueger. Like, it's revealed at this point.
Yeah. Well.
But she doesn't explain anything.
Yeah, well, she doesn't reveal it all yet, but.
Well, she acknowledges she knows who Freddy Krueger is.
Yes.
All right.
Well, yeah, it's very clear. She's like, you know something's up. I don't know what the hell you're getting at, but something's going on. Fuck you, Mom.
So she has a conversation with Glenn where he talks about you could have dream skills.
Well, after her mom encounter, she goes, yeah, I'm going for a walk. Then she meets Glenn on this walk. They're going, what, maybe an hour?
Yeah.
Maybe two?
Not long, yeah.
It's got to be long because it's like when she comes home, it's like almost dark.
Mm. But the sun is just going down when she comes home, so it couldn't have been more than, you know, we'll say 4 hours. We'll say 4 hours.
It was not long enough for what had happened.
Correct, yeah. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Maybe she had lost herself in Johnny Depp's eyes.
Maybe.
Haven't you?
No.
No, I can't say I ever have.
But she has this book about like booby traps and shit. And then Glenn's like, you know, people believe you can like take control of your dreams and stuff. And like, you give it power. You can take power away from it.
I've learned about dream abilities where you can, you know, you can create whole worlds and save yourself from falling and fight off evil monsters.
Yeah, I like how he says, like, if you're falling, just... What did he say about that?
I forgot.
I imagine you were in a magical place where you got something that lets you fly, or...
He didn't even say fly. He just, like, that stops your falling, or you just turn around and it loses power. I'm like...
You just get a Zelda hookshot.
Yeah, like, why can't you get, like, some Samus Aran armor and... Mm-hmm. Be awesome.
You could
create a giant Hot Wheels track in your mind to catch a helicopter.
If you get the Samus Aran armor, you have to have jumped to get the spin jump going, but then you could jump forever.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so
that's the best you can come up with, Hot Wheels.
Yep.
Fuck. Sorry. What?
So anyway, Nancy's mom has barred every window in the house and installed locks on all the doors that you can lock from both sides.
Yeah. Somehow.
Yeah. So you can lock people in the house?
Yep.
Well, she got it done quickly because she went down to the Home Depot and... Mm-hmm.
Correct. Eat your Dorito.
Yep. All right. So then mom's like, I got stuff to show you. Let's go downstairs.
The creepiest way ever.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
She looks all disheveled. She opens the side door. She's lit from below from the side door. She's holding a bottle of vodka.
She comes out of a completely darkened kitchen.
At this point, you're not sure if Nancy's having a nightmare or not.
You don't know.
It's pretty much how it looks whenever Sharon comes home after we record these podcasts.
Wow.
If she walked in right now, that would have been hilarious.
Yeah. No, I mean how I look to her.
Oh, okay.
Not the other way around.
All right, I heard it differently.
Yeah, my wife is a lady of the highest caliber.
She is.
And I'll thank you not to make light.
We didn't say anything.
We're making fun of you.
Yeah. But anyway, she's like...
You can make fun of me. That's fine.
Come into the basement. I need to show you the evidence of the murder that I was part of. That I kept for some reason.
Yo!
Which is why we're being haunted now.
I don't...
I am the worst person ever.
Yeah.
I don't even understand this.
It makes no sense.
So, the whole thing is like... When did this take place?
At a time.
Yeah. What is this timeline?
Right?
Well, she says she uses the phrase, all us parents got together.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think it was before Nancy. I would imagine this is probably around somewhere where they got divorced. Her and her husband, Nancy's father.
Are they divorced?
They're separated.
Live in different houses.
They're certainly not living together.
Sorry, anymore. I'm a cop. I can't really live with a murderer.
Yeah, that might have been a thing.
Oh, you think that's what split them up?
It might
be. Could be, yeah.
Yeah, I know you murdered a pedophile, honey, but still.
It was the way you did it.
Yeah. He just got off on a technicality.
Yeah, so we find out Fred Krueger, this guy, was killing kids.
Killing, yeah.
Yeah.
She says murder.
Eventually killing. Well, she called him a filthy child murderer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the script said something else and they changed it.
Right. Because you, like, even if he murdered kids, you don't usually use the term filthy unless there's something else going on.
Yeah, but it's implied. We don't really ever say it. But anyway, he's killing these kids.
Like 20.
Yeah. 20 that they know. She said
20.
20 that they know of.
That's a lot of fucking. Yeah. That's a whole classroom.
That's a lot of kids.
It's a whole goddamn classroom. One teacher got laid off that year because there were enough kids to keep a job. Like, a lot of fucking kids.
I don't know who's the police officer that fucked up on logging a piece of evidence that got him off on a technicality.
Her husband. That's why they split up.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
You know what? That might do it. That might do it.
That would make sense.
I would guess that's more the guy that hung himself that you don't hear about anymore.
Spelled his last name wrong. Freddy Krieger.
Krieger means warrior.
Child warrior.
Yeah.
Freddy Krispy Kreme.
But yeah, so her story is like, so Freddy got out because someone didn't sign something right, whatever.
So all the
parents in the neighborhood followed him to the warehouse. He had his little operation coming out of.
Good old-fashioned mob going.
Made sure he was in there, surrounded it in gasoline, and lit the fucking place on fire and watched it burn.
You know what?
Yep.
I can't blame him. I really can't blame him.
Now, I
20 kids, man.
20 kids. Yeah. I get the sentiment. I get it. I mean, the method is kind of gruesome and, you know, takes a lot for a person to go that far to do that sort of thing. But whatever. I get it.
I draw the line at 15, personally.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm talking about like
that's
like
a lot of grieving parents.
Burning a whole building down to get the person that's in there and then sitting here and watch it. Like, that's kind of a lot. Like, just shoot the fucker. That's kind of a lot disturbing.
Yeah. Well,
that's weird though.
They were all a bunch of moms. They like to be dramatic.
But then afterwards.
Yeah, wait. If I can, if you're one of these many grieving parents, and you're driven to go just take mob justice on this guy and take him out, I get it. If you are someone in the neighborhood who knew this kid, maybe you have little kids of your own, and you want to help out in it, or at least look the other way, I kind of get it. But what does she do, Brian?
After he's all burnt up, she goes inside the wreckage and gets his fucking knife glove and keeps it as a keepsake for what the fuck she did.
That's something you want around. Just like, something that'll directly link you to the murder.
I'm saying, like, what the fuck?
If you're an alcoholic, yes.
Yeah.
Like, that makes no sense whatsoever.
And that's the thing. And, like, I give you, obviously, these people don't, believe much in the supernatural. But, like, that's a good way to get haunted.
And then she kept it in the fucking furnace of her house that was obviously used. Now, my thing would be, like, it never burned in the furnace. Something's fucking up with this fucking knife glove that doesn't burn in my fucking furnace.
Where you're going to keep your murder evidence?
the fuck?
I don't think she kept it there all the time. My theory is she put it down there once all this nonsense with Nancy was starting.
Mm. It's possible.
Normally, she would keep it in her bedside table, if you know what I mean.
Oh, okay. All right.
just notch claw.
She used to hang it.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. Nothing's more satisfying than jilling off with a hand of a dude you murdered.
Like, I mean, no, it didn't burn in her own furnace. It didn't burn when they fucking burned him alive in the fucking building.
Right.
That shit's fucking cursed. Right. No wonder he's been attacking people on this fucking street.
I'm picturing the reason they got divorced is she used to, like, hang it above the crib, like one of those, whatever those things are.
You know what I would have done? I would have made more of those and made Fred Krueger go through the spanking machine while all the parents had him on their hand.
That would have been more acceptable.
That's weird as hell, Joe.
It is, but...
I just look for any excuse to make someone go through the spanking machine.
I'll remember that when game starts.
So...
Guess what you guys are doing tonight. Anyway, yeah.
Going home early. Getting a good night's sleep.
Well, this is when, like, Alice is like, all right, I got a plan. We're going to pull Freddy out of the dream.
Yep.
And then, Glenn, you're going to kick his ass. This guy with 20 confirmed kills. good luck with that.
Well, with a fucking with a knife hand.
To be fair, she's like, dude, I've kicked him in the balls like 3 times. You can handle this.
Actually, you know what? That is true. Yeah. Like, he's a pushover.
She's not all that wrong. She's not wrong at all.
She's like, just be there with, like, I don't know, a bat or something. I'll pull him out of my dream and you can fuck him up.
Glenn's like, I'm telling you right now, I will fuck this up.
She's like, whatever you do, don't fall asleep. Glenn, whatever you do, don't fall asleep or hide under a dumpster.
All right, I'll just lie here on my bed until it's time. That can't go wrong.
Yeah, just repeatedly. I love this guy's thing. It's like, yo, I don't sleep. I never sleep. It's not a problem. I'll stay awake. Dude, what the fuck?
So here's an interesting mother-daughter adversarial point where she waits for her mom to you know, leave her room, and she's like, all right, I'll get out my you know, hidden coffee stash.
What the hell, man?
She has the whole, like, percolator
she's
out
there.
She's
got a Mr. Coffee under her bed.
Like, where did she get an extra Mr. Coffee?
Yeah, also, how are you going to do that without anyone being able to tell, like, you're making coffee?
Dude, you can smell it. Like, yeah. Fresh coffee is a strong smell.
To be fair, though, I'm sure her room already smells deeply of coffee, and the mom is drunk.
Well, you know what?
Because that's the next thing I was going to say.
You know what else coffee does? Makes you poop. Oh.
My thing is, how the fuck does she fall asleep so fast when she's been taking fucking
pills
and coffee all damn day?
Well, I mean, like, caffeine and stuff can only do so much. Well, that's the thing. Your body is so crashed, exhausted.
Yeah, when you've been up as long as she has, like, the moment you stop, you're out. But, well, she looks out in the hallway, and mom's like, don't worry, I got my own secret stash. It's a closet vodka.
Under the towels.
Yep.
Just get a tug of that right here. Couldn't even wait till she got downstairs.
Got a couple cans of Budweiser in the tank of the toilet, just in case, you know. Like,
Jesus, mom.
Huh? She hasn't been able to use that glove for a while, so she's been on edge.
Oh, man.
Why don't you go date Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force like Tina's mom did?
So, like, Glenn's mom and dad are talking, and they're like, she's a weirdo. We shouldn't let her talk to Glenn. And
hold on. Wait. Frame it better. Glenn's dad is staring at Nancy's window while Nancy is getting changed.
Yeah. I mean, he's still gonna check
his wife comes
goods.
Out, she's like, you shouldn't stare. you shouldn't fucking stare.
Like, sound advice. Yeah,
like, listen, woman, Baps is Baps. I don't know what to tell you.
So he's like, she calls, he just takes the phone, he's like, hang that shit up, leave it off the hook, fuck her.
Yeah, to be fair, she's like, oh, I need to talk to Glenn. And she's like, oh, well, what is this about? And like, oh, it's private but important. He's like, fuck you, it's midnight. Just hangs up. One's asleep.
So then freaking, like, Nancy, like, gets a phone call, hears, like, a claw screech on the phone. So she, like, flips out and breaks her phone. Then the phone calls again, even though it's unplugged at this point. And Freddie just goes for the makeout.
He's like, I'm your boyfriend now.
When did he have time to sneak in and put all that silly putty on the end of the phone?
Had a little motor in it, too, because that tongue was wagging back and forth.
It was waggling.
Yeah. So phone tries to make out with her. Now, in fairness, though, at the time, that was a pretty decent jump scare.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Yep. Knowing that it's coming now, you're like, yeah.
Well, this is what I mentioned, though, is like, and now seeing it again, I'm not so sure it's better or worse, but in Leprechaun, when we had the little hand come out, I was like, I think I'd rather take the hand than this tongue trying to make out with me.
That also happened in New Nightmare, didn't it?
I believe so. Mm. Yes.
So meanwhile, we go back to Glenn. Oh, yeah. So Nancy's mom has locked her in the house and just decided to get totally drunk for good measure.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you're going to get some sleep if it kills me. Also, I'm fucking wasted. I have no idea where the keys are.
Yeah.
We're stuck in here.
Hope the house didn't catch fire. Yeah. We're all screwed.
Yep.
But we cut back to Glenn and his Brady Bunch mother's out on the porch with the dad. He's fallen asleep with the TV on top of him for some reason. And just like, oh shit. And whoop, he's pulled into his bed.
It's basically the worst hug ever.
Yeah.
How do you fall asleep with an 80-pound television on your testicles?
On a waterbed, too.
On a waterbed. Was it a waterbed?
Yeah.
Was it? I don't know. I didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah, I didn't catch that either.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it was supposed to be, but...
yeah. Certainly became one.
Judged from what happens, yeah.
Well, it was a waterbed afterwards.
But. Yeah.
Yeah, it literally just, like, a vortex opens behind him on his bed.
For a hot second, though, the first time you see this, you're like, that's it? He just gets pulled under the bed?
Nope.
It's like, hey, you ever see Evil Dead?
Yeah, just a geyser of blood starts pouring out of this thing.
Yo, so much blood.
Dude, it's pretty awesome, though.
It is.
And it's just... It's erupting up on the ceiling, and it's convincing enough that you're like, how the fuck is that happening? And then you're like, oh, the entire room's upside down.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's like everything else in the room is like fastened down enough that it's hard to really set up.
There's one poster that's a little loose, so you kind of see it kind of flop up a little bit, but it's real slight. I didn't even notice. Like, I just happened to catch it. Like, it's real slight.
Mm-hmm. But that's a pretty good job.
Yeah. But then when his mom opens the door,
yep.
And like now it's like, you see something's fucked up happening?
Yeah.
Like, maybe you should have been a little bit more interested. You talk to your kids a little better. Like, you
know? Like I said while watching this, like, now try and explain to me how that's Nancy's fault.
Yeah. At least when the cops get there, like, her dad should have been like, someone go get Nancy.
Right?
Like, we'll just put her somewhere and watch her.
You know, that would have been nice.
But for no other reason.
Sorry, to
make it worse, somehow he calls Nancy.
Yep.
I think he calls her, right?
I think she called him.
She calls the house.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think so.
He's on the phone with Nancy at this other house, and she's like, Dad, I need you to come here like in 20 minutes and keep me safe because I'm about to try something.
Mm-hmm. Well, also,
and he's like, whatever, I don't give a fuck.
Also, she's also like, he's dead, isn't he? And the dad's like, I haven't gone upstairs yet, but like blood is coming through the ceiling.
Yeah. Well, he also did say, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, yeah. But he says, I haven't been upstairs yet.
But here's an equation for you. You are the head of the police department in this town. All the kids in town are dying terribly around your daughter. You're not going to have somebody watching her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Well, again, this goes into the, you either start believing in the supernatural, which now...
Even if you don't, there's obviously a serial killer on the loose.
Hold on. First of all, she pulled a hat out of nowhere, got scratches from nothing, and he's just been sucked into his bed, and a whole water fountain of blood came out.
They're teenagers. Yeah. They're going through a phase.
But whatever. But that's the thing. You either believe in this supernatural, or she's probably the killer, because she keeps talking about this shit, and it happens.
Her dad just thinks Johnny Depp finally got his first period. He doesn't really understand how it works.
You get pulled under your bed and it explodes in a geyser of blood.
He has played everything under the sun. So
The dad just came in and said, I'm not going to the store.
But like while watching this, an ambulance pulls up and they pull out a gurney. And Rob's like, what's that for? I'm like, put a mop bucket on it. And then like the next scene is a mop bucket trying to catch some kids.
Well, and the guy said, it's like, you don't need that. You need to get a mop.
Yeah. You just got to wring out the bed sheets and do a DNA test. Sir, do you think you can identify your son?
I will say at the very least, the dad does finally, like, he tells this other officer, like, go out in front and, like, if anything weird happens, check on her. Because if nothing else, prevent her from coming to see this because she can't handle it.
Which, how much harder would it have been for him to say, go into my wife's house? And please stay there and watch them to make sure they're okay.
Because you know what? We have probable cause now.
Yeah, because, it's just across the street. Yeah. It's just right there. It's just 25 steps.
But you say that, but even though he says, go, check on them, whatever, make sure everything's cool, the cop apparently can't even be bothered to cross the street. He's just on the curb, like, watching from across the street.
He's like, fuck it, my boss gave me something to do, whatever.
My known alcoholic ex-wife has put bars on all the windows. Maybe there's a problem.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, like that's crazy as fuck.
Yep. Yeah.
That's crazy as
fuck. Just one afternoon, bars on all
the windows. The suburban neighborhood. someone decided within one afternoon to bar every single window in the
place. Tore down the trellis with the roses bush on it.
It's not an unreasonable argument to make before a judge at that point where you're like, I don't feel my daughter is safe in that anymore.
My wife's a drunk, and she's healthy right now.
I don't think my daughter can get out of that house if it catches
on. Yeah. In fact, it is proven literally that she cannot.
Yeah. So, now, all right. Door sledgehammer trap, I don't have a problem with.
Nancy used that book she was reading before make a bunch of traps.
Wait, before we get that, just a quick side note. She did tell her father, in 20 minutes, come break down the door, and we're going to take care of this. So she then goes back, sets up sledgehammer door.
And gunpowder light bulb.
Yes. Yeah.
Now,
so
could there have been any better use of the shotgun shells than gunpowder light bulb?
Listen, maybe. She was... So...
Where's the shotgun?
She was following Arnold Schwarzenegger's to catch a predator.
I mean, at least take the shells and like pour it into something to make an arrow to explode arrow Rambo style. Yeah. That would kill Freddy.
And then light a big fire in your living room and go.
that would be pretty badass.
So, did Home Alone rip this off?
Yeah, I was just going to say, apparently I didn't realize Freddy Krueger used to be Daniel Stern.
Yeah. They look kind of similar. So,
these booby traps are less violent than Home Alone. Yeah.
All right. I mean, Robert Englund does look kind of like they're kind of similar.
I mean, Blee's the same as Predator.
to be fair, if we burn Daniel Stern's face off, he might look just like
different kind of Predator, though.
So, she puts her mom to bed.
I don't even want the cookies.
It's time to do battle with Freddy Krueger.
And it seems, if I'm not mistaken by her setting of her watch, she did all this in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
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 That's a very protective girl.
Yeah.
Here's a question I have.
When you have a montage, you can get
that
a
that is true.
Done.
Montage is magic.
If you're about to fight a murderer in your dreams, and you know the only way to do it is to go to sleep, and you know you're going to like show up as you are in the dreams, would you not go to bed wearing like clothes?
Yeah.
She's got armor, for crying out loud.
Yeah, like
can.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But at least shoes, she went in barefoot.
Yeah.
Wearing, like, just her little pajamas.
Maybe she didn't want to, like, throw them off and, like...
Who cares?
I don't know. I'm not.
You know what I'd have in the bed with me, too? Fucking knife, bat, something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A rolling pin? I don't know. Whatever I could find.
That maybe lamp with the shotgun bulbs? Yeah.
Have put that shotgun somewhere accessible.
Yeah. So, no, we're going to go to a boiler room. Mm-hmm. Call Freddy out.
I'm also imagining, like, you know, she's like ready to pull Freddy out into the real world. So her bed is just surrounded with open bear traps. So anyway.
Yeah, she's just like, all right, I'll show him. I'll just jump off the balcony in the boiler into, you know, her bedroom, I guess.
Well, she jumped off into
the house.
She landed in the rose bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, that wasn't there before.
Yeah, what the hell is happening?
And Freddy's like, what the hell is happening? Yeah. And she takes a page out of Rod's book. Dive tackle.
Yep. He pops back out of the rose bush and she's just like, well, fuck it. I'm jumping at him. They're tussling around in these roses.
Yep. Alarm goes off.
The alarm goes off.
Now, I just want... Her watch was talking.
Yep.
Yeah.
Was it a thing in the 80s? No. I'm about to say that. I would have wanted that watch.
She had a Casio calculator watch like the rest of us. Didn't say a damn thing.
Yeah, well, it had the little timer on that or whatever, but they added in a vocal element so the audience could know what's going on.
I had a talking Dick Tracy watch. In the 80s.
Calling Dick Tracy. Calling Dick Tracy.
It said that about 10 times, then broke.
Yep.
All right.
Because it was from a Happy Meal.
No, because his brother broke it. He got tired of hearing that shit.
Maybe.
He gave it to you like, oh, his watch is broken. Oh, sorry.
All right. So she wakes up. She's like, oh, I guess I am crazy.
Yeah. And then Freddy just pops up. I'm like, bah!
And she just hits him over the head with a coffee pot.
Yeah.
And she starts just beating his ass. Like...
Dude, Freddy sucks.
Yeah, like she runs out of the room.
Now we're in the real world, so he really sucks.
Now, I'll give you, once you take a sledgehammer to the chest, your ability to continue fighting is severely compromised.
Debatable, but before we can even get the sledgehammer, she just locks him in the bedroom. Yeah. But he can't get out. He's struggling with that door for a good while.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, man. Like, I expected her to, you know, slam the door shut. She throws the rope around it so it'll activate the sledgehammer and then pull it open. But no, he's still just fighting with the door for several minutes.
Which later does her thing. Johnny Depp would show him up in Edward Scissorhands when he shows him that you can, in fact, pick a lock with your scissorhands.
Yes. Probably just cut that whole door, damn door down.
Yeah, he goes into the living room, sets off the lamp bomb.
Yeah, just kind of explodes behind him, but that puts him out for a couple more funny minutes.
If it just blew the hair off his ass like the bear.
I like how that doesn't get anyone's attention across the street. It's no. Like, there's a goddamn explosion in the house, and now it's on fire.
But yeah, this is, again, that cop that was told, watch over them. If anything happens, go, you know, deal with it. And she starts, when Freddy first comes in, she's yelling out the window, like, get the fuck in here. We need help. And he's just like, sure, you seem fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he doesn't move. He doesn't fucking move.
And then, like, yeah, there's the explosion in the downstairs room. And she's, like, busting through the front window, like, will you come help us now? And he's like, all right, maybe we'll get your dad.
Yeah,
like,
I better go tell her dad something's happening. Yeah. Like, are you fucking serious?
Asshole.
Somebody needs to call the police.
She's just like, you know what? This guy's just a pushover. She just, like, knocks him down the stairs.
Dude, Freddy sucks.
Pours oil on him, lights him on fire.
Well, yeah, also, she runs down the stairs very, very clearly, very intentionally. Mm. And he goes after her like, oh, you're too slow. And it's like, no, she's totally like schooling you, man. Like, yeah. What are you? Are you that dense? Yeah, she throws oil on him, sets him on fire. So now he's running around on fire. Mm. He tries chasing her up the stairs. She just kicks him back down. I think she just slams the door in his face. Is that what happens? She just falls back down the stairs.
Then, yeah, it lets her dad in. Well, her dad comes in. And then you see there are flaming footprints going up to her mom's room.
Yeah. So they go up there. Freddy's on top of her mom, attacking her. The dad throws the blanket on him to try and put him out. He pulls the blanket off, and we just see the burnt corpse of her mom giving a thumbs up as she dies.
For real.
Into a void.
Yeah, the bed, again, just opens into a portal to somewhere else, and the mom just goes away, and it fades, and there's just a bed. And this is, again, where I'd be like, explain that, dad. You don't believe me? Yeah. Explain that. What just happened? What did you see?
Her dad's like, all right, I'll be downstairs. You know,
What?
Okay. Well, at this point is when you're realizing, like, she's still in a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know at what point she went into it, but, like, this can't be real anymore. And then, Freddy comes out from the sheet with the same, like, stretchy wall effect.
Yeah. Busting his way through. It's like, I'm gonna get you. And she's just got this whole monologue.
No, I'm gonna give you the cold shoulder.
Dude, yeah, I'm taking my energy back from you.
Like, do like a labyrinth, like, you have no power over me. Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm Sparkles.
I turned to glitter.
Yeah. I rescind my chi from your star beams.
Joe, in your next game, could there be a bad guy who says that?
Yes.
Oh, Sparkles.
That's his power.
Become Sparkles.
So, yeah, she just walks outside into the happy ending.
Yeah. Sun is shining. She's feeling good. Foggy. Her mom's there. She's feeling good.
Yeah, there's a weird filter on the lens.
Her mom's like, you know what? I'm not going to drink anymore.
I'm good.
I'm done.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, look, all your friends are back and they're all alive.
Yeah, they're in the car here to pick you up. She goes to get in the car, and the top comes down, surprising everybody, except, what do you know, the top has red and green stripes on it.
Mm-hmm.
All the windows start closing, everybody in is freaking out because they're not doing it, car just starts driving away. Mm-hmm. We see the little kids on the side of the road singing the little, 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you.
So, like, that song scared the fuck out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kids were singing it at school before I knew where the fuck it was.
Yeah.
And then I saw the movie. And then the kids singing at school, I'd be like, no, stop it. Like, stop. Like, no.
And something happens here that I didn't think was possible. So, you know how, like, when something is so bad, sometimes it can become good again?
Right.
Yep.
I've never noticed something that's done so shittily that it's still creepy because it's just so wrong. But like Freddy's hand just reached through the door and pulls
a mannequin
mom doll through there. But it does it so like suddenly and violently that it's still creepy looking. Like it's just weird, but it's like it's obviously not her mom.
Yeah, right. The doll does not move at all.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's cut because for a second, like it looks like a mom for a hot second. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The cut is so quick. It's like, dog, boom, she's gone. Yeah.
It's like sucked into the vacuum of space. Yeah.
Well, it almost would have worked, except her legs didn't bend at all.
It's still, somehow it worked for me.
They bounce around the window on the way in. Like,
Yeah, and you realize at this point, that Freddy, like he does in all the sequels, he was letting her win for a while, gave her a happy ending. He's like, oh, yeah, nope, I have all the power here.
Yeah.
I
win.
Sure. The end.
Yeah, that's Nightmare on Elm Street from 1984. Okay, so on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 94%. The audience gave this a score of 83%. That's what they thought of this movie. What about you and your possible recommendation on this, Brian?
I like this movie a lot. Like, had the environment been a little differently, I probably would have been a bit more bothered by it. You know what I mean? Like, if I was by myself, whatever. But we joked around most of it. But the most of the effects, minus a few, still hold up. I wouldn't give it in the 90s, but I mean, the viewer score, like the people score, whatever, sounds about right. Like, it's a solid movie for me. Like, I'd watch it again. You know, and I think I'd probably see something different every time I watched it. You know, so I'd watch it again. I recommend it. All
right,
good time.
Rob.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I am shocked that Freddy Krueger has endured as like a horror villain when he is so terrible. He's just like a scrawny pedophile douche with with stupid powers, and like he just gets knocked around in this movie. But at the same time, like, He's like the least scary horror villain you could think of. But the movie was fun. It had really cool death scenes in it. And even though the acting was overall pretty terrible, it was still very entertaining. So, yeah, I'll recommend it.
Joe.
So, well, last week I was surprised by how much better Friday the 13th was than I remembered. This one, I remember this movie being really good, and I was like, this is not as good as I remember. That being said, I still liked it. But let me tell you about my experience watching this movie.
Okay.
Because I watched this by myself after midnight with all the lights off. Awesome. Yeah.
Pants down.
You know, everyone else in the house is asleep. Pants down. And...
One, two, Joe is coming for you.
So let me tell you a few things that happened before the movie. I come home. My roommate is up late, and she usually goes to bed early. And she's in, like, you know, busy mode. She's working on something. So I'm like, well, what are you working on? So she teaches kindergarten, and her school's mascot is an elephant. And she's like, well, what they want to make for school is some kind of like Harry Potter sort of, like, when the kids do good, they get like points for their team or whatever. So the elephant's supposed to, like, originally I think the idea was like it was going to be an elephant tank or something. And she's like, why don't we just make an elephant that, like, the teacher could put the like beads or whatever in the back of it, and it'll come out its trunk, and you could put them in a jar or whatever.
Or the other way.
Or, well, that was, of course, what I said.
It's much more realistic.
Yeah, but she's like, we're not making it poop. So anyway, so she's in the process of turning a teddy bear into an elephant.
I'm loving this already.
She's got a pillowcase over its head, and she's fabricated this trunk of sorts. But we're not quite at the point where, you know, it's definitely not a bear, but it's not an elephant yet. The ears aren't on. It's just weird looking.
It's an elephant man, maybe.
It's just a weird looking thing.
I'm not an animal. And then I am, like, a bear.
All right, I can't really do anything else with this. I'm going to bed. And what I didn't know is that I left my door open. She left it on the studio across the hall, like up against that door, so she wouldn't forget it the next day. And I didn't know it was there. So I finished watching the movie, and I turn around, and I don't know what the hell I'm looking at across the hall, staring back at me, this weird half bear with a pillowcase head. And I'm like, is that real?
Did you burn your arm?
No. So then I'm like, okay, Becca was building that before. It's just a half bear. It's
just a half bear.
Oh, man. So, but for a second, there was some genuine fear. And alarms are starting to go off. So that certainly gave the movie some points right there.
I'm surprised you did not set it on fire and throw it on the lawn.
No, I just like, I calmly walked over and closed the door at that point. But yeah, it got the adrenaline going. Needless to say, I enjoyed myself watching this movie. Freddy is not as scary as I remembered, because I remembered him, this being him at his scariest, and it's like even close. Right. He's just, he's a step up from like a Home Alone villain, like Rob said. And the acting is so fucking abysmal. It's bad. But I mean, it's still, it's the originator of the franchise. It's horror done well. And I do have to recommend everybody see it. Just, you know, make sure you know where all the stuffed animals are in your house before you do it. Occasionally take breaks to check out your surroundings.
Especially if you have roommates that might mutilate some of them and prop them up in a chair or whatever. This is definitely a recommend for me as well. I used to like Freddy a lot more. I question why a bit more now because watching this again. But... yeah, like the premise is there. He does kind of come out like a punk in this, but I like the idea because, like, you know, what can you do to a dream? Like, it's hard to fight that. Like, you gotta try and bring it into real world or something, or at least recognize it's a dream while you're having it. Otherwise, yeah, it's just gonna mess you up. But yeah, the franchise, this one at least, is good. It's entertaining. It probably could, I hate to say, use an update because I know the new one wasn't so hot. But
yeah, I never bothered to see it.
Yeah, I honestly haven't watched it either. I just heard it's not really worth your time. Yeah. But maybe we'll find out on this podcast at some point. But anyway, yeah, this is a good watch, especially, you know, Halloween season. You're looking for a horror movie. This is a good go-to. So
yeah, like Joe mentioned before, this was for me the scariest one out of all of them. As a kid, plus I was the youngest when I first saw it. Like this came out in 84. Probably saw it when I was like 9. Mm-hmm. So I shouldn't have been seen it as it was 9 or 10. You know, on top of that, like in my mind, the other ones were always just funny to me. Like I'm not a big horror person, and so like as a kid, like my go-to was Nightmare on Elm Street because Freddy was funny. Like he was always funny. This one was the exception for me because I was 9. But yeah, he was always just funny. So like Joe was saying,
this one they also weren't trying as hard for the funny in theory. I think a lot of the funny came from
like watching it now as an adult. This one is funny too.
Yeah,
because it's fucking crazy. But like as a 9-year old. This was fucking terrifying. I should have seen this shit.
Again, there are still some rather terrifying scenes in this. Like, it's easier to handle as an adult, but like the coming through the wall thing, that's still creepy as shit.
See, it was kind of the opposite with me, though, only in the sense I didn't see this till I was probably either late teens or early 20s. I had seen parts of 3 and 4.
Okay.
So the part in 3 where he turns the kid into a marionette by pulling his tendons out.
Okay.
And making him walk around terrified the hell out of me. I had bad dreams about that a lot. And then the one where he turns the girl into a cockroach and parts of her body keep falling off and she just becomes a roach. Those two scared the shit out of me.
Okay.
I think I saw him when I was, I don't know, like 7 or 8, something like that.
No, that'll do it. All right. But what else is going on here, Brian?
So to finish out our October... we will end with Halloween. Ooh. Yeah.
On Halloween?
Yeah, we'll, you know, come out just before it, but yeah. Well,
what an interesting coincidence. It's almost like we planned it that way.
It is. Whatever do you mean, Joe? I think the evil fates have aligned to make it so.
Such is the power of October.
Come on, Rob, the last one.
I did it quiet. I did.
Oh, okay.
We'll get a real one out of you by the end of this year.
All right.
This month, rather.
You have to bring me something to drink.
I didn't say it. I didn't hit her. It's bullshit. Oh, hi, Rob.
I did not. October. Oh, hi, Mike Myers.
So what else do we have for the people, Rob?
Well, guys, we want to thank you so very much for listening to the podcast. As always, if you enjoy the show, please subscribe via iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. We have a new episode every week. Please help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes. And definitely like us on Facebook. We are quickly reaching 100 episodes and 100 likes on Facebook. So if we can reach 100 likes on Facebook by our 100th episode, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, I really like it.
I want 100,000 likes by episode 100.
100,000 likes?
Yeah.
All right, well,
All right, guys, so go home, hit that like button, and Joe, just keep refreshing the page and see what happens.
We'll start a pyramid scheme for Facebook likes.
Yeah, we'll do that.
You like us, you get 5 of your friends to like us, and each of them get 5 of their friends to like us. And there's no prize.
In return, you'll get
Has
more
anyone
of
ever
love.
Started a start-your-own pyramid scheme website?
I'm sure.
If not, I mean, you should stop this podcast.
And just start that? That sounds awesome. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook.com or on Twitter at 4AM Podcast. And, of course, as always, if you'd like to reach us, you can contact us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, please write in. Tell us your favorite scary story or your favorite scary movie or your favorite scary franchise. We want to know. We want to know where you stand on all this. Until then,
deuces.
Later.
Adios. How did you not know that was going to happen?